Warning, the following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE podcast. Tonight, we bring to you Sports Whispers Weekly, where we talk nothing but sports. For the duration of the show, we got a lot to get to tonight. Real quickly, though, a big apology to any of our listeners for last week. We had some issues with Blog Talk Radio, and as such, we were not able to get last week's episode out to the public. So hopefully everything goes well for this week. Just because we weren't able to get that out there, we are going to do a little recap of some of the things that we discussed last week involving the NHL trade deadline. We'll talk a little bit about the impact that some of those deals will have on the remainder of the season. We also have NFL free agency to discuss, and boy, oh boy, was it definitely a free agent frenzy this week with God knows how many players have already switched teams, and who knows, there may be a couple of other things that we'll get to as well. Currently, to start off tonight's show, we have Lou, we have Alex, and we have Diane to start off tonight's show. How's it going, everybody?
All right. And, of course, I'm not surprised. I mean, usually when you got the free agent week going around, there's bound to be a free agent frenzy. So this doesn't surprise me at all.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, good to have you all on board tonight. Now, in response to what you said, Lou, I wouldn't call it a surprise, but I was surprised at the fact that you take a look at everything that was all the deals that were made like literally within a 2-day span.
Right.
It's like you talk about a tampering period. It's like, or the non-tampering period of the NFL, it's almost like it doesn't even exist, essentially.
That idea is just like a bad joke, right, Steve? I mean, everyone was already like... It was already done before like the clock even struck midnight. People were already getting signed. Tampering, Diane, would be before the deadline. You're not allowed to. Apparently, the general managers or coaches cannot talk to a free agent. But obviously, when everyone's on a new team, 5 seconds into the period, it means they've already been talking.
Yeah, and here's the difference, though. They can talk to the agent; they just can't talk to the actual player.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
But they can talk to the agent, and usually, right around the time of once the tampering period is over. That is when you can officially get started on talking, to the actual players. But, however, there are two teams who are being investigated for possible violations of that tampering period, and that happened to be the Atlanta Falcons with their signing of Kirk Cousins and the Philadelphia Eagles with their signing of Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just starting off with Atlanta.
Yep, he's going up the turnpike.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going across. He's going to Philadelphia now. But, I mean, just to start off with the Atlanta Falcons, first off, I think it's asinine the fact that Kirk Cousins even got a four-year deal to begin with. When you consider his age, his injury history.
Is he not such a good player?
No, he's a very good player.
Okay.
He's a very good player, but the problem is that you look at his injury history, and you factor in his age as well. I mean, he's what, 35, going to be 36 in August? So he'll be 36 at the start of next year.
Yeah.
So to me, it just it kind of seems questionable from Atlanta's from the if I was an Atlanta fan, then again, you know, I would here I am being a New England fan, and I wanted Kirk Cousins on the Patriots. So, but you know, I look at it in different ways. You know, when it comes to Atlanta. Atlanta is more far ahead when it comes to getting back to the playoffs as opposed to the Patriots. So for Atlanta, I would say it definitely makes more sense, or you know, it makes more sense if you want to try and maximize, you know, success within a certain period. If you're somebody like New England, I would have expected New England would have probably done the 4-year deal. I didn't expect that, especially when they had a quarterback already in Desmond Ridder that they were trying to develop.
Well, I mean, Ridder really crapped the bet out. I mean, the time is now right now for Atlanta because look, they've been run through quarterbacks, and I like your comparison to New England, Steve. Honestly, yeah. I mean, Atlanta right now, they really might be, a lot of people are saying they might just be literally one quarterback away. Look at their last three drafts, Kyle Pitts, Dejon Robinson, the running back, Drake London, the awesome receiver. They have like three or four awesome young weapons on offense and a good defense. What are they missing? They really are one plug and play, like one quick upgrade. So, yeah, they backed up the Brink truck. They let him break the Brink. They gave Kirk what he wanted. Also, Kirk Cousins' wife is from Georgia. So there's kind of like a, you know, he probably had her in his ear too. Like, oh yeah, let's go to Atlanta. They really wanted him. So yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They overpaid, but it's like supply and demand. Yeah. Atlanta, they really just needed a quarterback. New England's more, look at New England. Yeah, they're picking, so New England's picking high. They might be like, let's try for the wild card. Atlanta's like a playoff team with a good quarterback, I think, right away.
Yeah, and to be fair though, with Atlanta and specifically with Kirk Cousins' wife, you know, that wouldn't obviously count as tampering because, you know, obviously the wives or girlfriends of players are going to have a say in where their man essentially goes. But according to his press conference that he gave on Wednesday, he made comments that had suggested that he had spoken directly with the organization a day before he would be permitted to do so. He said in particular, he said, there's great people here and it's not just the football team. I mean, I'm looking at the support staff. Meeting, calling yesterday, calling our head athletic trainer, talking to our head of PR. I'm thinking we got good people here and that's exciting to be a part of. It basically suggests that he had already been in contact with the Atlanta organization before the tampering period even began, before free agency even opened, which it's one thing if the agent is doing it. It's another thing if they're talking directly to the player.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And I'll even add even further with the Philadelphia Eagles. With the Philadelphia Eagles, with Saquon Barkley, Penn State head coach James Franklin had suggested that Eagles general manager Howie Roseman had made a sales pitch directly to Barkley, saying that many Philly fans are also the same fans who supported him at Penn State. And according to Franklin, Barkley had said that one of the first things that Howie said to him on the phone as part of his sales pitch was that whole connection to Pennsylvania, Penn State, and whatnot. So that has raised a couple of red flags around the league as that both sides were already in talks for quite a while.
Yeah. And see, just, yeah. I think really, I mean, just, listen to what you just said. It brilliantly. You just nailed it to a T. I mean, it's really clear if you're like a judge or jury or a cop and you're looking at someone and they just admit to it, like they're guilty right now. I mean, they literally said that to the media that the day before, which is strictly prohibited, which is not legal, that they talked to the staff. Like the two guys that got brought in, Barkley said it in Philly press conference and Atlanta. Kirk Cousins spilled that. Oh yeah, yesterday before the period. But I mean, they're both totally guilty. The NFL could really rock both teams with, you know, multiple draft picks being lost.
Potentially. Now, however, Saquon Barkley did try to back things up in his press conference where he claimed that the coach had misinterpreted their conversation. He said in particular that the truth was the sales pitch to Penn State, how many Penn State fans are Philadelphia Eagles fans? And then he goes, but that was through my agent. My agent told me that.
So they're trying to clean up the – he's trying
to say that the organization spoke to his agent and that essentially that his agent had basically made the pitch to him after speaking with the organization.
Yeah, I mean
– isn't that allowed?
Yeah, but –
yeah, that is allowed.
Yeah. They're trying to clean up his mistake the day after. Oh, he actually meant to say this. Well, he didn't say that because he didn't mean to. Now they're trying to go, oh, you know what? You misinterpreted what we were trying to say. No, they got busted. I mean, let's look at what it is. It is what it is. They said what they said. There's no reason, suddenly the next day, oh, we actually meant to say this. They're trying to change their story because they're in trouble with the original story.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, what's your take on these two cases, Lou, with the league looking into potential tampering by both the Falcons and the Eagles?
Another case of tampering. Well, I shouldn't be shocked by this. They're always trying to pull something before the trade. I mean, free agency agency period hits, and of course, and having someone and the. That's just how it goes, so it doesn't really shock me at all.
I think it's something that goes on. It goes on league-wide. I think it's just a matter of when they really want to find out who's doing it, they find out. And this year, Kirk Cousins is good. Barkley is very, they're both in the spotlight. Yeah. If go in their press conference and announce it to the world, now it's media, everyone's got a microphone and a recorder. The league has to do something about it. They're both guilty.
They are.
Right. Yeah, it does make you wonder what the potential consequence, or like in particular, what the potential consequences will be for in terms of exactly what each team would potentially lose.
Do you think the team will potentially lose that player?
No.
No, I don't think they'll lose the...
They lose draft picks.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll lose draft picks, if anything. They won't lose player. They won't lose the player because that deal has already been signed. But... you know, with the draft picks that they'll lose, it'll almost make them wish that they had lost the player.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll give you a couple of examples here. The Kansas City Chiefs in 2016, they were punished by the league after they were have found to have been engaged in improper contact with free agent wideout Jeremy Maclin, formerly of the Eagles back then, as their contact had taken place prior to the start of the 2015 free agency period. They ended up being fined $250,000, and they were docked a third-round pick and a sixth-round pick. Head coach Andy Reid was also fined $75,000, and the then-GM, John Dorsey, was fined $25,000 as well. The Miami Dolphins, probably the most notable one as of recent, the Miami Dolphins they were stripped in 2022 of their first and third round picks after owner Stephen Ross and Vice Chairman Bruce Beal were found to have violated tampering rules in conversations with Tom Brady as well as the agent of head coach Sean Payton. And at the same time, Ross was fined $1.5 million, and he was given a six-week suspension from the league, while Beal was fined $500,000 and also temporarily banned from league meetings. So basically, what this essentially, you know, the statute has already been set. Now, obviously, you know, somebody as big as Tom Brady and also, you know, Sean Payton being involved, obviously those deals did not happen. So, and yet they were docked a first and third round pick. So it makes me wonder, considering obviously Kirk Cousins and Saquon Barkley are bigger names than Jeremy Maclin. So it makes me wonder just exactly how much, like how steep of a penalty it'll be if both the Falcons and Eagles are found to be guilty.
You put it perfectly right there. I mean, Macklin's one thing. Yeah, sure, he was a first-round pick out of Missouri, great receiver, but, he, you know, injured. You know, he never did what he really was supposed to do in the NFL. He's kind of a bust almost. But, yeah, now there's more scrutiny, more at stake. There's bigger fines. Yeah. The economy, we have a lot of factors. So the fines can be a lot heftier. And then you have a quarterback who – by default is like the most important player on most franchises, right? So that's very important. That's more important than a Maclin. And then you have Saquon Barkley, and I know he's injury prone, kind of a luxury for the Eagles. It's not, it was a weird move, but he's a big, you know, a big ticket too. So I think, I think the penalties will be a lot stiffer this time around with these two.
And it's worth noting as well that both players were considered to be among the top, options in their respective markets. Well,
I wouldn't be.
Kirk Cousins was, but I don't know about Barkley. I think Derrick Henry might have been above him, but
yeah, I think Barkley was one. I think Cousins right now would have been the number one on the market, so to speak. But yeah, I think. I mean, yeah, I'm thinking it could be you guys, Diane, Lou, and Steve. Do you think it could be as harsh as like losing a number one pick, or maybe like?
It could be. I think so.
I have no idea.
I think it could be.
I think a first round pick is definitely on the table. I think it could be similar to the Brady incident, where maybe you might see a first and a third round pick potentially.
I mean, the cat's out of the bag. The guys said it themselves in their introductory press. And not to judge people, but like, you know. How foolish can you be?
especially when you take a look at Kirk Cousins' deal as well. You know, he signed for 4 years, $180 million. That's a lot of money that we're talking about when it comes to negotiating. So it sounds like, if anything, the Falcons may have potentially already had a good idea to begin with of what Kirk Cousins was asking for.
Yeah, I think he wanted just back to the player and the team and the personality fit, not so much the tampering. Real quick, I do like the move overall. Steve, I agree with you. A little long, but again, I think you want to make he and his wife and his agent. Obviously, the agent is huge. You know, they always have a huge say. You got to make sure I'm happy to get him to sign on that dotted line. You're not going to just sign him for 1 year. So you got to give him the years. You know, a couple extra years just to make sure he arrives in time.
Right. And not just that, but the fact that he's also coming off of a torn Achilles injury too.
It's a risky.
So he's coming off of a torn Achilles injury at the he'll be 36 in at the start of preseason. You know, it's like basically Atlanta must really feel like they have the pieces in place to make a potential run, and that the only thing that they were missing was a quarterback.
I really think they do, and it's a weaker division. That's a little factor, but I mean, They did load up, and they've hit on each of those picks. They've literally had three or four of the best young, really young, talented offensive players they've drafted recently. And they have Ritter and Heinicke throwing jump balls for them. If they have a quarterback, Cousins is healthy, they might win 10 or 11 games right away, or 12 games.
Yeah.
That makes them a legit team right away.
Yeah, there's definitely potential, especially if they can utilize players like Kyle Pitts a lot better, as opposed to, previous quarterbacks that they've had. And it's funny I say that because I believe when they drafted Kyle Pitts, that was Matt Ryan's final year, I believe, in Atlanta. So I find that kind of funny that somehow Matt Ryan wasn't able to utilize him correctly. But, it's definitely – I think that they must really feel like they have the pieces in place required to – to actually make a significant signing like this, that they feel that Kirk Cousins is essentially going to put them over the top.
I agree, Steven. Just to look real quick at their draft activity the last 3 years, or I think it's the last three, if not, I think it was number four, Drake London, their 6'4", 6'5" receiver, like a young Mike Evans. He's on the outside at receiver from USC. And then Bijan Robinson, who everyone knows about, like incredible young running back. They took, 6 or 7 last year? I think they made 3 top 10 picks in a row, all on offense, all, receiver, tight end, and running back. All they need is a quarterback.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much all they need for the most part, it seems. That if they can, there would be some people that would argue if they had a better quarterback this past season that maybe they could have snuck into, into the playoffs potentially.
Yeah, and I think we're all used to even the pick or the more high flying, more often Atlanta teams, but the past few years they've hovered around 500, mostly because of their defense. So they actually do have a legit defense already, too.
Yeah.
Now I know, going back to the Eagles for a second here, I know you're a big Eagles fan, Alex. What are your thoughts on them upgrading from DeAndre, or do you consider this an upgrade, going from DeAndre Swift over to Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, first of all, I don't know where you heard such a dirty rumor that I'm an Eagles fan, but yes, I do digress. Yes, I am.
Oh, wait a minute. No, never mind. I'm thinking of there was another caller that used to Kyle used to call in.
Yeah, I was a Falcons fan actually, Dirty Bird. No, but I think overall, accurate, Steve. You're asking about what Swift. DeAndre Swift, the transfer I like Swift a lot. It's weird. The Eagles always have musical chairs, like revolving doors when it comes to to running backs. So they don't run the ball a lot. When it's 3rd-and-2, they're since the days of McNabb and then Vic and everyone, they always pass. Since the days of Andy Reid, they love to pass. They just run when they have to, unfortunately. So it's not like a really – it's not a prioritized – it's not something, oh, my God, we need a good running back. We always want the new toys, the big A.J. Brown or Terrell Owens on the outside. So Swift seemed awesome. And you guys saw it. I mean, they had a down year, but that guy, whenever they gave him the ball and actually committed to the run, he was very, very good. And he's another guy just like Barkley. He's from Pennsylvania. So I was surprised. But the second he left, I mean, literally the next day, they signed Barkley. So they already knew that, he knew he was on the way out. They already probably all knew. Yeah, good luck, Swift. We're about to sign Barkley. Because it happened overnight. So I was surprised to see him go, but they already had Barkley in the back pocket. Another sign of evidence that they were tampering, if you think of it that way.
Right.
They happened in 24 hours.
That really does make you wonder. That really does make you wonder that they immediately went and traded Swift. And...
Yep.
It had to make you wonder, okay, what else do they have in their pocket you know, what do they have in their pocket that they're ready to that they're already ready to move on from DeAndre Swift like this?
Yeah, exactly. And I know Swift had gotten a lot of injuries. A lot of people do, and obviously Barkley is example exhibit A. But Swift did really do well. I mean, what made that strange was when they didn't, when there was no rumors of him like staying. You know, it was, you know, I'm a fanatical for better, mostly for worse, but I always religiously follow, you know, the rumors and all that stuff, just like you guys do with the Pats and Bills and Cowboys and stuff. So I'm always trying to figure out what the Eagles are going to do next. There was like crickets. There was no news on Swift coming back. So I was like, something's going on. They don't want this guy back. He played great. He's from Pennsylvania. And then right away, boom. Oh, wow. Now it makes sense. Barkley signed right away.
Yeah. So it definitely left quite a few quite a few question marks as far as to what exactly is going on specifically around the Eagles in particular, because they must be feeling right now, we literally tasted the Super Bowl 2 years ago. The Super Bowl, and we had the best record in the league this year. We end up getting bounced in the first round. You know, we need to do something. And
absolutely.
I mean, congratulations, you got the player, but you may have paid a hefty cost in doing so.
Yeah, and he was just real quick, I mean, Swift did his job last year. The reason they had the most epic collapse, it was embarrassing as an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
We're still mystified. In parentheses, it was the coaches mostly, and the defense. The defense is the big puzzle they need to fix. They've signed Bryce Huff from the Jets. They brought back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the awesome safety. They've been doing that, but it's like almost like they didn't really need Barkley, and now Barkley's going to cost them a lot with a penalty. It's kind of ironic. No one was like saying we need Barkley to get back to the Super Bowl. We need to fix the defense. That was the first priority.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's also worth noting too that he signed for three years, $37.8 million, which includes $26 million guaranteed. So that's pretty much similar to what he was asking for from the Giants. So it really makes you wonder, you know, did the Giants even bother to try and re-sign him?
They didn't. They all indications. I think I don't even know if Barkley said it, but I've read, you know, whatever. Everyone could be telling a tall tale, but from all indications, Steve, I mean, I don't think they made any even move. They're cash strapped, and he's had a lot of injuries. They need a lot of help on offensive line. They're trying to figure out if they want to move up and draft J.J. McCarthy. Daniel Jones, they gave, you know, $500 million, or, you know, $50 million to. Barkley's been upset, and they've been franchise tagging. They've been basically renting Barkley, begging him to stick around for the last 2 years. Barkley, and not for nothing, yeah, he's from PA. He's an Eagles fan. Barkley sort of wanted to go home. The Giants did not even try to keep him. I don't think I would either. The Giants need to spend that money elsewhere. Right when they lost him, they traded for one of the best edge pass rushers in the league, Brian Burns from Carolina. So the Giants are cleaning up. Like, I wouldn't salary cap on an injured running back like Barkley, who doesn't want to be there. I think the Giants are kind of smart to move on.
What are your thoughts on that? On that, Lou, the Giants deciding not to bring back Saquon Barkley and essentially allowing Barkley to go to a division rival.
Yeah, that makes it even worse. I mean, there's nothing worse than going to a division rival. I mean, how much do you believe they think that Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, get along as probably going to be the next dynamic duo in the NFL? No, it didn't happen. So, you know, Barkley jumped the chance to move to a more contending team, and
Dyer's allowed to find someone else to team up with him. So, you know, I think it's what's going to happen. I don't think Barkley was really happy being with the Giants to begin with. So he just jumped in the chance and moved up across the Jersey Turnpike, if I had to call it.
Let me add, Lou, I love what you said. Let me add real quick, Barkley, yep. He had a bunch of knee injuries, even since Penn State. What's
yep.
maybe the worst, most dangerous turf in pro football? That,
no,
that garbage, that garbage
that
whole stadium, where the Giants and Jets play. MetLife Stadium.
Yeah,
terrible.
It's a very dangerous turf, man. You're right. You know, because I've seen
yeah.
that turf, and it causes a lot of injuries.
I've been there.
I
mean, it's
major injuries.
I don't think he wanted to play there either. I mean, that's got to be maybe
yeah.
that's another factor. I would think so. He wants to stay healthy.
Yeah,
that's a terrible stadium for injuries.
Well, any stadium is, but this one more so.
Exactly.
Does he not think he's going to get injured playing for the Eagles?
No, but Diane, that turf is so awful. Anybody can get hurt, and it makes you know other injuries look tame compared to the injury you see at Giant Stadium. I've been at Stadium, and the turf on that stadium really hurts when you fall.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's one thing to you know there's been so many so many complaints about the turf specifically at MetLife Stadium where you've seen so many injuries take place over the last couple of years. It's not just fans complaining, you're having you're having analysts complain, you're having actual players who play on that field complain
about
the state of it.
So why don't they
Lou, correct me if I'm wrong, we're both, you know, kind of tri-state guys. That's less than a decade old, right? That's a relatively new stadium.
That's correct.
They just built it for, I'm not a numbers guy. I'll sound foolish if I even guess, but a ton of money but they just put into that. They're not changing a thing. It's there for a while.
Yeah, but if people are complaining about it, they should do something to fix it.
Honey, it's too new, you know, and they just can't fix it every time there's something wrong with it. I mean, that costs a lot of money. You know, they just can't,
right.
you know, fix it every time something goes wrong. You know, that's about $100 million in that just on the turf alone. They just
fix the turf so players don't get injured as much as they do.
Well, there's no guarantee that they wouldn't get injured with it, I mean, without it. So you have to just take it by
right.
as it is.
Yeah,
right. It's basically a sort of a risk reward type of system. And also, you know, another thing too, you know, they say, why don't you just switch from grass to turf or turf back to grass? It's not that simple. You know, there's a whole bunch of different factors that they take into account. In particular, when it comes to not just the playing surface, but also they take into account the location. I mean, obviously, you know, if it was in a dome or something, that would be a different story. But there's multiple things that they take into account when they make that type of decision of whether to do grass or turf or stuff like that.
Right.
But the Giants, they made a couple of splashes, you could say. They did acquire edge rusher Brian Burns from the Carolina Panthers in exchange for second and fifth round picks. This happened way after the tampering period. So,
yeah.
Okay.
It also includes a five-year extension for Burns worth a maximum of $150 million with $87.5 million guaranteed. According to Ian Rapoport, it makes him the second highest paid edge rusher in the league.
Amazing.
Edge rusher.
that's a pass rusher like LT and Reggie
yeah.
White and Steve, on that point, think about this, guys. Just a year ago, the Rams, a proud franchise. McVay is, you know, you love him or hate him, he's a pretty smart guy. They offered two number one picks for Brian Burns. The Giants just made a great deal. The Giants just made a great deal right there. Right after they lost Saquon, they gave that money to Burns.
Right. Yeah, they gave that money straight to Burns. And if anything, this is malpractice on the Panthers. But that, I think, if anything, that has more to do with the Panthers owner, not willing to admit that it's time to move on with certain players. And Burns in particular, you know, he made so many headlines, bad headlines, I should add, that, you know, granted, he was probably their number one trade asset on the roster to begin with, but
absolutely
the bad PR for the Panthers didn't help things. So it definitely was a move that was in the making. It was just a question of who was going to be the guy, who was going to be the team to land him.
Yeah,
and
just sorry, Steve, go for it.
Well, no, I was just going to say, and it so happened that the Giants were the ones that were the beneficiaries of this type of move.
Yeah, and just being over here in the belly of the beast, I guess, you know, for lack of a better word, but like in this old school, I listen to sports radio. I'm sorry, I can listen to radio. I listen to sports radio. You know, the Fan New York. So every caller, you know, a lot of fans live around here in the Connecticut, New York, New Jersey area. And, oh my God, we lost Saquon to a rival. We're so idiotic. No, I honestly, smart move, because they right away they traded for. This guy's a top five pass rusher in the league. So they gave the money to from Saquon, and Saquon did not want to stay here. And Saquon's, you know, let's be honest, he kind of underperformed. He was injured a lot. So I don't think it was a terrible move by the Giants. I disagree with a lot of Giants fans. They're thinking with their heart. When you think about it with your head, kind of a smart move. Because I mean, what are they winning with Saquon and Daniel Jones? Absolutely nothing. Next up, they got to get rid of Daniel Jones.
That could be the next move,
right? And
you
know that,
know
that actually,
yes,
it actually makes you question too. You know, what is the move going to be? Are they going to go for a quarterback potentially in the draft? You know, what exactly is going to be that? Because I have seen some trade scenarios where they may potentially trade up. With any of the higher seat or any of the higher picks, to potentially nab a quarterback.
Now another interesting wrinkle, a guy that you and Jim and like, and I really like him too, Steve. You've always been kind of more knowledgeable with, especially with the college football. I mean, JJ McCarthy, that's another name I'm hearing now. Maybe the Giants, because they don't have to move around to get him. I don't know if he's worthy.
Right.
But.
No. They could stay right where they are, actually, and grab him.
There you go. And then they can draft the receiver second round, and now they have their pass rusher. You know, Barkley was kind of a luxury. He did not live up to his contract in New York. I think the Giants might be better next year. They're going to be better in the next couple of years after this, you know, heartbreaking, you know, whatever, breakup with Barkley.
Yeah. By the way, I'm watching the Bruins against the Flyers right now. Holy shit, what a snipe by Danton Heinen. Top shelf, top of the net. What a fucking snipe. Holy shit.
From where?
How
far out?
Lead 6-4 really? Late.
How far out did he shoot it? Like a blue line or like mid-range? Where was he?
Well, he was about, I'd say, about a foot or two away from the blue line. But it was, I mean, just the way that he sniped it top shelf. You know, I would say if it was an inch or two higher, he probably would have hit the crossbar, basically. That's how high his shot was.
Yeah, that's a snipe.
Anyways, so, you know, going back to the NFL, one of the other, you know, free agents that we didn't or that we haven't discussed yet, and this is a little, this is part of a ripple effect. Derrick Henry, he signed a 2-year deal worth $20 million with the Baltimore Ravens. Think about this. Derrick Henry was Tennessee's best offensive weapon, and he's only worth 2 years, 20 mil.
Amazing. What, one of my favorite players ever. I'm just watching that guy. He is an absolutely dedicated, incredible physical specimen. We'll never see another Derrick Henry. I got news for you.
Yeah,
I don't know
not.
If maybe there's a little less gas in the tank now, but he looked pretty darn good in my eyes. I mean,
I'm stunned.
But let's not forget,
who's
he wasn't
Derrick
the best.
Henry?
Who's Derrick Henry? One of the best players ever. Titans running back. Nice. I mean, Steve, that he's an absolute Hall of Famer. Maybe the best running back of our generation, I think. One of them.
Yeah.
That's highway robbery. 2 years, $22 million.
Yeah. I should say up to $20 million. Not exactly $20 million, up to.
Incredible deal for the Ravens. Yeah. Imagine him with a play action with Lamar and Derrick Henry. Wow. I mean, Derrick Henry, to me, he's awesome. That's a steal of a free agent.
Yeah.
And the big reason for this is because, and by the way, the deal includes $9 million guaranteed in its first season with Baltimore. The reason why that this even took place is because the Dallas Cowboys decided to move on from Tony Pollard, and Tony Pollard went out and signed a $21.75 million over 3 years type of deal with the Tennessee Titans. And
yeah,
that basically marked the end of Derrick Henry in Tennessee.
He kind of had – you're right, Steve, but think about it, though. Remember, I mean, they kind of – I did see a clip of – I think I was watching that game, the final Tennessee game. They obviously didn't make the playoffs. But, yeah, they gave him, like, a standing ovation at the end. Derrick Henry was, like, waving around to people for, like, 5 minutes when he left the locker room. So it was kind of –
Well,
I guess they're
not interested. The Avalanche Oilers game starts soon.
They're kind of oh, nice, cool, Diane. But yeah, I mean, with Vrabel out, and then you know they don't really have a quarterback yet. It was like Henry has maybe 2 or 3 years left. Let's remember this guy is the most physical, you know, running back. There's been a lot of gas emptied and a lot of track tires. The guy's like a battering ram. He's not going to be around that much longer. 2 years might be kind of perfect. And I think, and then flip the script. You know, Henry wasn't coming away from, you know, being arrested or injured. The guy could go anywhere. Baltimore is kind of the perfect spot for him because everyone thought they could beat the Chiefs this year. So, I mean, Henry and Lamar, they might be able to get to the Super Bowl, especially within 2 years.
Yeah.
So basically the writing was essentially on the wall. For Derrick Henry essentially in Tennessee,
because they were just getting younger. It is what it is. It's not his fault, but and you know again maybe he has 2 or 3 more years. It's like even if he wanted to stay, they were almost like doing him a favor. Like we're getting younger. Like it just doesn't fit our timeline. You know they didn't trade him, but you know they let him walk. He didn't piss anyone off. But they just let him go. You know, now he can go anywhere, and, hey, he goes to a contender. Him and Lamar, that's a combo.
Yeah.
Now, what really surprises me, though, is Dallas allowing Tony Pollard to walk.
What do you think,
That's
man?
Really what surprises me. And
yeah, that
it's surprising. Very puzzling.
Cowboys Lou.
I mean,
what
are your thoughts on that?
After I heard that, I would have go throw up. what do you expect? That is the bird. How could you let Pollard get away? I mean, he was, he did great for the Cowboys, and he just like threw him away like yesterday's newspaper. What were you thinking?
And right after they gave the full time, they gave the lead singing and they gave the gig to him. After Zeke left, it's Pollard's show, and then immediately Pollard does well, and they let him go.
They let him go. Yeah, what's wrong with
you people? That no sense whatsoever.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it is honestly it is kind of surprising. The fact that they let Tony Pollard go, and not just that, but you also look at they let out Leighton Van Der Esch and also Michael Gallup out of their deals.
You can have Van Der Esch.
Love the
guy.
Well,
actually,
so
I think it sounds like Van Der Esch is actually planning to retire, from what I heard.
Neck and back. Lou, and you love the guy, I'm sure. I mean, the Eagles were trying to draft that guy. He's an awesome player, Steve. But, yeah, I mean, he's had back and neck injuries. He's almost, like, close to being paralyzed. So, I'm surprised.
That's the best player to walk away then.
I mean, he was an awesome player. Like, almost 6 foot seven. The guy was fast. Yeah, amazing player. But, I mean, Van Der Esch, I've always wanted that guy in the Eagles. But, yeah, when they let him go, that's more injury. But, yeah, I think who'd you say, Gallup? Yeah, you know what? To be honest,
Gallup.
Lou, I'm not trying to dump on the hated Cowboys. I always keep it civil between us. But
right.
I mean, they've been in kind of cap hell. They gave half their cake. They gave half their world to Dak Prescott, who hasn't really won much in the playoffs. Their cap is just in terrible shape. They lost their starting left tackle. Just signed with the Jets. The Cowboys are bleeding out players. They have not signed one player, I don't think. Like, I don't know if they're going to be better next year. Tell me how.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think Giants with Jones and Cowboys with Dak. I saw a stat the other day. I saw an article where they spent, it's almost like $40 million a year direct cap hits. I don't know how to survive that in a cap world.
I'm not sure you can.
Yeah. You're going to see other good players lose, drop out, get dropped.
Yeah, I did find it kind of, kind of surprising that, everybody was waiting to see, okay, what are the Cowboys going to do? What are the Cowboys going to do? And, the first week of free agency, it's like, okay, you're not really doing anything. Yeah. And, then they go and release two key Cowboys like that. And now, not just that, now they have a woman who is accusing Dak Prescott of sexual assault as well, after Prescott is suing her on an extortion claim.
She's
accusing him of sexual assault. She's accusing him of sexual assault over an alleged incident in 2017, after he had sued her on a $100 million extortion claim, and apparently the sexual assault supposedly occurred in the parking lot of a strip club in early 2017. And according to the lawsuit, the woman and her attorneys wrote Prescott a letter in which they said the woman wouldn't pursue criminal charges or go public with her claims if Prescott had paid her $100 million. So now Prescott is dealing with this.
They are. G-Dub, who sometimes I disagree with, on Lou's show. Lou has an awesome show, obviously. He was saying earlier today, might be extortion. You're going to have some people, oh, my God, I saw that guy once at a club, or, you'll have guys at a bar on a Saturday night trying to fight someone who plays for the Cowboys or the Eagles just to get punched.
Right.
So they get super half a million. It's like, probably chances are he probably met that girl. He might have been in an adult venue, establishment, a strip club. Yeah, other people have been. It's not the biggest crime in the world.
Yeah.
It's actually legal. And
right.
So he probably smelled some easy money. Maybe they did something. I don't know if he's married or has a relationship going on. Not really my business or ours at all. I smell just a fake lawsuit. He doesn't strike me as the type of guy to be in trouble like that.
Yeah, honestly, it sounds to me like it's somebody trying to get money out of him. Essentially, is all that it really
is.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it is.
That it's not,
but
you know, it's not really.
Doing.
No, let's put it this way: you waited 7 years to get this long. I mean, if it was done, I think you would have done, you know, a long time ago. I think they're just looking to get, you know, I think some of them are just money hungry, and that's what they're trying to do here. So I think this is all just, you know, like a scam for, because she wants $300 million from this guy. Not really. Come on. There's some
right.
There's some that can go, you know, to put this way in the Bugs Bunny cartoon, there's stuff more. What's really going on right here?
Yeah, it's definitely something that she's basically in search of money is essentially what it is. Like she's trying to profit off of maybe a potential hookup that she had with him. And
yeah. No, Steve, you nailed it. She might have, maybe they did have whatever, you know what I mean. But
yeah,
that's the scary part for athletes like that, and for musicians, for, you know, it could be anyone, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, but like, we're talking sports, right? I mean, any of these guys, they're out at a club or a bar or at a Barnes & Noble or at a grocery store.
Okay.
They do engage.
Anywhere.
If they do talk to someone.
My basement.
And that woman or that girl has, you know, ill content, if they want to get something malicious, if they want to make money, they might concoct and create a story. Yeah, another thing, I mean, 7 years later, 6 years later.
Yeah.
Makes it a little bit worse. Yeah, it's like, you know. And but then there's the guilt and the shame, obviously, of victims of that terrible thing, rape, you know. But it can take a long time to process or to have the guts to, you know, or the just ability to say, you know what, actually, this happened to me.
I mean,
I just, with this guy's record, with this guy's background, though,
yeah.
He's squeaky clean. I mean, Dak throws a lot of interceptions. That's his biggest crime.
I mean,
oh,
it's not like the same thing. Like,
it smells to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the same case where it was, like, say, with, you know, Larry Nassar, you know, with the gymnast. I don't think it falls on the same lines as that. I mean,
exactly.
No.
Different. Yeah. Because Dak, love or hate Dak, he does not seem like the type of guy to be out, you know. I think some girl with just money to get some way to his bank account. I don't think there's anything to it.
Yeah, I'd be surprised, honestly, if there was. But still, it's, you know, it's still bad press. It's still bad PR.
Oh,
it is. You know, for the Dallas Cowboys, you know, going through this whole ordeal.
And then just looking, I mean, what news have we had of them? You know, again, I'm not trying to dump on them, but, like, they fell short in the playoffs. Everyone's talking them up all year. They seem to always fall short with Dak. This is the only news we get from Dak. And we have Dak's brother saying that he doesn't want to be a Cowboy. He's on Twitter, you know, at 2 a.m. every night saying that. The Eagles fans, it's like – and then Jerry Jones, he's not signing anyone. So the only news coming out of Dallas is this stuff. Not a good look.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm going to finish these scores. Wow.
I mean, I don't think Dak wants to stay there anymore either. I think that he gets people are angry at him. Maybe he can, you know, he would have been a perfect guy to go to Atlanta and get them, you know, 12 wins, but he's kind of saddled in Dallas.
Well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't exactly say that he doesn't want to stay in Dallas. I mean, when you consider that, you know, he's still you take a look at everything he has poured into that organization. Yes. During his time there. I mean, yeah, granted, he has experienced a whole bunch of hate from fans, but also
yeah.
at the same time, at the same time though, you know, he's been considered the MVP of that team for how long?
I agree, and just from an Eagles fan perspective, I don't like wake up going, oh man, when I watch the Cowboys play, I'm not like, oh, screws Dak. He does seem like a really nice guy. You know, I almost
right.
quietly root for him. Just twice a year, I don't want to see him win against the Eagles. I have nothing bad against the guy. He's never been really cocky. He's never been a jerk. He seems like a genuinely nice guy. There's a lot of pressure playing in there. And, Lou, you know that. You're the Cowboys fan. I mean, there's a lot of pressure in that media, that circus there. And, you know, Jerry Jones allows media in the access, you know, 24 hours a day. These guys, you know, back when they had Irvin and Aikman and, you know, Emmett Smith, strip clubs basically built near the stadium for the players. They, you know, the cops would cover everything up. The Cowboys have been a very colorful, electric, controversial franchise. And right now, I don't even know if Dak fits. I don't even know if he wants to be there. Jerry Jones seems like
my guess is he probably wasn't.
Jerry Jones, I mean, Jerry Jones, God, and the best GM combined. I mean, the old running joke in the NFC is I hope Jerry Jones lives forever. Because all the opponents love the fact that Jerry Jones is still calling the shots. I mean, who's going to be the new puppet coach? McCarthy? He won't fire McCarthy.
No,
McCarthy's a yes man. I mean, Lou, what do you think? Do you want McCarthy there? Do you think Jerry Jones is the problem? There's something brewing in Dallas.
Jerry Jones is the problem. He's just getting old, too, you know. But McCarthy, I don't know.
Ugh.
It's going to be murder. Bad.
Now, we do have some trades to also talk about here. One in particular could potentially have some implications on the draft. Both of them we could say have implications on the draft. The first one being Sam Howell is now no longer a member of the Washington Commanders. Instead,
yeah.
he is now a Seattle Seahawk. In exchange for, and in my opinion, this is actually more than I thought he would go for, third and fifth round picks in this year's draft from Seattle to Washington in exchange for Sam Howell. After a one-and-done year, he led the league in pass attempts, interceptions, and sacks last season for a quarterback. And I gotta say, I'm surprised that they even got a third round pick for him in this type of deal.
What do you think?
And it just real quick, it further cements, in my
yes.
opinion, that Washington is going to go for a quarterback instead of Marvin Harrison Jr.
They'll go for a quarterback.
But what are your thoughts, first, Lou, on this move? The Commanders, or actually I should say the Seahawks, in my opinion, overpaying for somebody like Sam Howell.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of money is not worth it. I mean, he's not that great. Definitely overpaying. So this might be a bad move. Now you know why Seattle hasn't been so competitive in recent years since winning the Super Bowl.
Well, what are your thoughts on this, Alex? Is Sam Howell worth a third and fifth round pick?
No.
No, I agree. I mean, Lou's one of my best friends, and you know, Lou always calls it like it is. I agree. Now it's more of a matter of supply and demand, right? So everyone and their brother and sister and mother knows that Washington is moving away from – they're moving off of Sam Howell. Thanks, Sam. Good luck. We don't want you around here. They're about to draft a quarterback.
There you go.
So that's where it's like supply and demand. The other team knows, oh, well, we don't really have to give up as much as if Washington had wanted to keep him, it would the price tag would be a lot bigger. So I'm kind of shocked that a third and a fifth was the transaction. Weren't there other picks involved, though? Weren't they, like, almost moving up and down within
yes.
those rounds?
Actually, I should say, yes, there was actually there was a fourth and fifth round pick from this year going to Seattle as part of the deal.
So, I mean,
so that,
honestly,
that might explain the upgrade to a third.
Yeah, so honestly, I mean, you got to give a little – not, I mean, whatever. I think Pickett's awful. But, you know, Eagles just got Pickett, and they kind of swapped, like, two different rounds of picks. Really nothing to blink at. It's like, we don't want him anymore. Do you want him? He apparently wants to go to your team. The other team's like, sure, we'll take him. Okay, let's make it look cute. We'll switch picks. You know, it wasn't like giving up two or three, you know, picks for nothing. So, I mean, but Al, I mean, honestly, I haven't watched enough of him. I just know, I know two things. I know Mitch Trubisky from Carolina was a terrible bust. He was picked top three. Cam Howell was the number one pick from Carolina. He's been not good. And then now I actually know three things, which is amazing for me especially. I know three things. I know that I'm not sure about this guy, Drake May from Carolina. So I see a pattern. Like, maybe he's the next bust, but, like, I don't know. Sam Howell, he could be good. When you get drafted by Washington and you have very, very limited weapons and really bad coaching, bad ownership, and then a new coach every year, how are you going to succeed? So maybe Sam Howell could still have a great career. We just haven't seen it yet. Maybe it's better for Sam Howell.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is possible that maybe perhaps we're looking at it differently. That you know, maybe if we had gone with, or if we look at him going to Seattle. You know, he probably has a better offensive line. He probably has better, you know, I shouldn't say probably. He definitely has better weapons over in Seattle. Maybe perhaps
a
blessing, if anything, for Howell.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine, like, Lockett and the awesome receiver from Ohio State they just drafted, Njimka. Man, his name escapes me. But that's Tyler Lockett. Sometimes a change of scenery is great for anyone. You know, you could be, you know.
Oh, no question.
A clerk job or a bartender. Like, whatever you're doing in business.
Bartender.
NFL's a business. Sometimes a new landscape, a new environment is great. So, I mean, from what I saw, though, it's just the Commanders, a.k.a. Redskins, they had a bad offensive line. And just, they had a couple weapons, but it was just, like, disjointed. They didn't have a good line. The coaching was always different. I don't think the kid had a chance to succeed. So, yeah, I mean, Hal, hey, the Seahawks are not exactly in love with Geno Smith. Maybe Hal wins that job.
I'm not in love with Geno Smith myself. Traitor. Yes, traitor. You did horrible with the Jets, but now all of a sudden you're having a reviving your career. Yeah, you turncoat.
Yeah.
That's enough. Did that come for you?
I was going to say Lou.
I mean,
He definitely got kicked to the curb by the Jets. He didn't leave the Jets. The Jets made sure he Ubered out of town.
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, so it definitely does make you think that maybe perhaps this is ultimately a blessing in disguise for Sam Howell, because he'll at least be able to, you know, obviously nobody wants to be in purgatory for basically their entire career. And I feel kind of bad for whoever is, I feel bad for whoever is next, whether it will be Drake May or if it'll be Jaden Daniels. I do feel kind of bad for the both of them, you know, moving forward here.
I mean,
but
you're always Steve, you've always been a great evaluator of, like, you know, of talent. Like, when you were watching, you know, Sam Howell, whether it was for, you know, 2 hours on a Sunday or from stuff you've read or you know, ever being around, you know, how talented he is, what do you think of him?
Yeah.
Do you think he has good upside or is he kind of a bust?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. He was definitely better than anything that New England trotted out there.
Yes.
But
I thought he played,
you know, I thought he was fine. I mean, yeah, he led the league in interceptions, but also at the same time, you can kind of account for, okay, maybe that's just the fact that, you know, the team around him absolutely sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at this year's stats: 21 touchdowns, 21 picks, 5 rushing touchdowns. He did have a bit of a tendency to fumble the football, though. Completed 63.4% of his passes, threw for almost 4,000 yards. So I think, if anything, it's just the fact of a lack of weapons and a lack of offensive line help, which...
That's the key.
I mean, let's be honest, it's probably an upgrade, him going to Seattle.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's probably an upgrade for him.
Yeah, exactly. And just to add to that, I mean, because you have Terry McLaurin, you know, Ohio State legend. He's a number one receiver, right? But then you have a drop-off, Curtis Samuel, another Ohio State guy. But then, I mean, the offensive line. I don't care how many weapons you have, how many toys you have. If you're not connected, your quarterback's screwed. And the running back screwed. So every time you run, it's 2nd and 9, then it's 3rd and 7. When it's 3rd and 7, teams know you have to pass. Teams like the Eagles or the Cowboys or the Niners or anyone, they're blitzing.
Yeah.
He was running for his life a lot.
Right.
And, you know, another thing too that you can look at as well is, you know, obviously, he's not going to be throwing to somebody like Curtis Samuel. He's going to be throwing to DK Metcalf out there in Seattle. So, you know, it's definitely a better scenario for him.
Yeah, Jackson Smith and Najiba. I just looked him up. That was the Seattle just drafted him like 17th overall. They have Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Smith and Jibba. You have almost 3 number one receivers in Seattle. And what did Seattle need? Maybe he goes there. Maybe he's a better thrower than Geno Smith. Maybe that's a better fit for him overall.
Possible. I mean, it's definitely possible that that it might just be a better fit for him.
Got more weapons.
Yeah. Another deal that was made this past week, and this could have major ramifications potentially on the first round, the Minnesota Vikings and Houston Texans have agreed to a trade that nets Minnesota the number 23 pick. Keep in mind, they hold the number 11 pick already.
Yeah.
So they get the number 23 pick in the draft, as well as the number 232, which is a 7th round pick, in this draft. In exchange, the Houston Texans get number 42 from the 2nd round, number 188 from the 6th round, and a 2nd round pick in 2025 as part of this move. Now, it's no secret that the Minnesota Vikings are looking for their next quarterback.
Yeah.
There's a huge rumor that they may try to trade up to either the Washington Commanders at number 2 or the New England Patriots at number 3.
Oh.
In exchange, they would offer both of their first-round picks this year as well as their first-round pick in next year's draft in order to move up. So it really makes you wonder what they may potentially do here. All right, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this, Alex, of Minnesota? Basically, it sounds like, you know, they wouldn't make this type of move unless they were planning on using both of those picks to move up.
Yeah,
you nailed it there, Steve. And I think before I'm definitely no notes down, but I don't even know how to tie my shoes up, Tom. But I'm thinking maybe McCarthy is on the Giants' radar, and now boom, Minnesota's radar.
So yeah,
he's kind of that next level. Now, but if Minnesota moves up, I don't even know how good Drake May is compared to J.J. McCarthy. Because Drake May was throwing bombs all year in college, not worried about number one rankings. And J.J. McCarthy from Michigan was worried about winning every week to beat Ohio State to win a national title. I mean, Harbaugh wasn't letting him throw. So, I mean, J.J. McCarthy's polarizing. So, I don't know. But all I know is that Minnesota and the Giants are moving up. Or they're both in the market to get a new quarterback.
I mean, yes, they are.
Stevie Wonder could see that. And surprisingly, even I could see that.
The Jets, I think, can use one too.
Now, the big question is, do you think they have enough assets to get a team like New England or Washington to bite?
Always. They always have enough assets, right? They're not bankrupt. they're not an expansion team. Nothing wrong with them, but you get my point. They have enough. They have weaponry. They have candy to trade. So if they want it, there's a way. You could also move up and get totally smoked on the trade front, a la the Saints with the Bears when the Dick took over with the. Remember when Ricky Williams got traded, and I think they received like four number one picks. You never want to get completely pillaged, but yeah, if they're desperate enough, they can make it happen.
What are your thoughts on this, Lou? Do you think Minnesota has the assets required? Do you think they now have the assets required to get somebody like New England or Washington to bite?
What would happen with the Minnesota Vikings this year? I would say no, and you know they have a lot of work cut out for them. So I don't think they have that yet. I mean, there's some things such as downfall from the previous season. I don't think so.
That's true. Oh, Steve, I could add though. I mean, now that they do have the number one, the two number one picks, that is the classic. I mean, come on, we're in high school; we could learn that. When you get two number one picks and you want to move around, that's the best way to do it. You can package those two together, because the team who's not in love with someone early in the draft will move back what 7, 8, 9 picks, and they'll take two number ones. So yeah, it is kind of the classic package is that. Two number ones. So it's kind of hinting that they are moving up. Duh. I mean, I would think. So I think that right there suggests they could do it. I mean, I don't know who they're in love with. If I'm moving up in a draft, you'd have your eyes on someone, right? You're not just moving up to just look around. They have to, like, identify someone
right.
They really need. Like, they really want someone. They're not just, you know, sniffing around. They're really in love with someone up there. I don't know. I mean, I would be shocked. For me right now, my two cents, I think McCarthy goes to the Giants right away. Unless Minnesota moves up, I think they're both going after McCarthy. Yeah. He's going to be on the Giants or the Vikings.
Yeah, I was pretty going to say that.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely possible that's what we could be looking at. You know, another thing too was the Patriots have been rumored to be looking at McCarthy as well.
So I've heard.
Drop down a pick or two. You don't need me to tell you this. You know just as much, if not more, about sports than I do. Obviously, would drop down. All you have to do, they don't need him there. Drop down a pick or two or three or four, another second round pick, or next year's number one.
Exactly, yeah.
The Patriots cannot stand pat where they are, no pun intended, and take McCarthy.
No. No, that would be that would be probably one of the most questionable decisions that would have been made in quite some time.
Mayo year one Mayo, that would be catastrophic.
Oh yeah, but at the same time, you know, it's not necessarily him. That may be making these picks, though. It might actually be, you know, it might end up being, what's it called, Robert Kraft.
Of course. I should have rephrased, like, the year one of the Mayo experience. Year one of Mayo. Yeah, I mean, that's not the type of way you want to start off a new career, though. Coaching start with a brand new. I mean, I sounded annoying probably like a month ago talking to Jim about it, but Jim had all these great ideas. Again, Jim probably knows more about football than I do, but I was saying that.
Yeah, but, Alex, you got to remember something.
What?
You had to protect yourself from mayhem like him.
Yeah.
Of course. But I was saying to Steve and Jim, who know the Patriots like the back of their hand, probably both know football more than me twice on Sundays.
Right.
I was just saying, though, I know a little, but I know a lot about this. If you're picking that high in the draft, and you need a quarterback, don't get cute, don't get sexy, take the top three quarterback. Don't trade down, don't get a tackle. I don't want to hear about that. The Patriots need help. What's the biggest position in need in any team? A quarterback.
A quarterback. Definitely.
Right. Yeah. No. Definitely. I agree. You know, I agree that it definitely, you know, they shouldn't waste time. You know, they should end up taking a quarterback. If anything, the one thing I am wondering though is specifically with the Patriots, if they may just decide, you know, we can get a quarterback at like say they end up making that deal with Minnesota. Oh, we could draft a tackle at number 11, and we could end up taking somebody like a JJ McCarthy. I don't think JJ McCarthy would fall that far, but you know, we could take like a JJ McCarthy at a, you know, at 23.
No, I mean, Steve, now McCarthy's, the Giants and Vikings are moving, the Giants are talking about taking McCarthy at 6. The Vikings are moving up right now for McCarthy. That's what I'm hearing. I'm no one, but that's what I keep hearing. Like, McCarthy's in the top 10 now. I firmly believe that. You're not going to get him in the 20s. If the Patriots want to get cute, they're going to wake up without their quarterback. I mean, I'm just saying. Unless, a guy that I've been, you know, tooting his horn for a year, I look like an idiot at this point because Penix really came up short in the national championship. But that's the type of guy he gets the second round. But, I mean, McCarthy's going, you know, maybe top 10 now.
Yeah, that's something. That's something to definitely keep an eye on here. I mean, who knows? You know, maybe Minnesota decides to just keep both picks, but it doesn't really. You know, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't make sense for them to keep both picks.
No.
You know, when it's clear that they're in need of a certain, in particular, they're in need of a quarterback. So.
Yeah, and just doing the math, they just lost Kirk Cousins too. So they just added that second pick. They're going to combo it and move up for a quarterback.
Right. Now on to one of the next deals. In particular, we're staying on quarterback here. Russell Wilson agreed to a 1-year deal with the Steelers, and basically. Keep in mind, the Broncos are paying basically all of the remaining contract money that they owed him. But he is set to make only $1.2 million on this deal. So not only do they get Russell Wilson, they got rid of they let Mason Rudolph go elsewhere. They traded Kenny Pickett, because Kenny Pickett started bitching when they acquired Wilson. And now, they acquired Justin Fields today.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Pickett should be in the Arena League. He's happy he went home to another Barkley guy from the Pennsylvania area.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has no right to bitch, but they'll all bitch. They're pro athletes. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great
move.
I mean, now the Steelers have two quarterbacks. I'm sorry. The last couple of years, if you add up what's the old saying? If you have three average quarterbacks, you've got none. You have no starters.
Average quarterback?
Be a carousel. Or not, they weren't even average. Obviously, the name is the saying escapes me. I'm feeling that saying, but you guys know what I'm saying. If you have a carousel, if you have musical chairs, you're not going to the playoffs. I mean, that was ridiculous. Mason Rudolph, Trubisky, God, Trubisky.
Dumpster fire.
Kenny Pickett can't even throw a spiral. The second Kenny Pickett got benched, they could actually have first downs. It was amazing. But, I mean, yeah. Now, I like the Russ move. I love the Justin Fields move. Because you know Pittsburgh's going to have a great defense.
Trubisky was a bad move for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, obviously, you know, the Trubisky experience from the Steelers was a horrible experience for them to begin with. But, another thing, too, you take a look at this completely revamped quarterback room that they have now out there and we saw the numbers that Russell Wilson put up this season, which were very comparable to Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
And, you know, it definitely makes you wonder, just how much better could that offense could potentially be with Russell Wilson at the helm instead.
Yeah, and I mean, so I love Russell Wilson, and then look at this, 24 hours, you wake up, boom, they added Fields.
Yeah.
So now, you know what's the beautiful thing? Competition. Both guys did not have that in Chicago and definitely in Denver. Russell Wilson came in and felt like he owned the franchise. Oh, yeah, let's go. Let's ride. People, he was cocky. Let them both go to training camp. Let the best man win. You know what that's going to do? It's going to make them both a lot better.
Yeah.
The best person who should have been playing like that last year, quite frankly, is going to win the job. They're going to go head-to-head. I mean, think about that. What's the better quarterback competition than that in the last 10 years? in the NFL. You have Russell Wilson basically at the end of his almost Hall of Fame career versus Justin Fields, who just got, you know, basically kicked out of Chicago. Both, you know, big names, big egos. That's going to be incredible. Let the best person start. I mean, that's a great – I did not see that coming. To get one is big. I mean, Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh has desperately needed a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger. But, I mean, now they have two, and both at different spectrums, different parts of their career, polar opposites of their career. One 24 years old out of Ohio State, who's still learning how to play the game. Russell's won a Super Bowl. And Russell's trying to say to the world, I'm not done yet. Fields is trying to say, I deserve to be a starter. I don't know. I mean, Steve, what do you think about that? I think I love that move for Pittsburgh. It's bold.
Yeah.
It's definitely bold, but I what that says to me, though, in particular, the Justin Fields move, and, I mean, let's be honest, they didn't really get much. It was a conditional sixth-round pick that could become a fourth-round pick, and it's not even for this year. It's for next year.
That's right.
A conditional sixth-round pick, depending on what his time is like. So what that says to me is there was absolutely no trade market whatsoever for Justin Fields, which is kind of surprising because he was starting to turn things around towards the end of the season.
He really was. And I thought the Patriots, several other teams, but, yeah, obviously, you know, we love our Patriots here. I thought, you know, at the talking here, I was thinking they'd be in on it. I thought his market was more of like a almost a second-round pick. You're not going to put a first-round pick for a Fields first-round pick. To me, a little bit Fields because he was so erratic. And that's just what it is. I mean, he might be worth it, but I'm not going to give up for it. You know, you got to play the market. I would think at least maybe a third-round pick. A sixth-round pick?
Right.
That's crazy.
Exactly.
Sixth-round.
Exactly. I would have said a third round pick. That's why I was so surprised that it ended up being only a sixth round pick.
Huh.
And you know what? NFL, think about this compared to NBA, NHL even, especially MLB. I mean, third round pick, that's top 100. There's a lot of great players, Hall of Famers, that are top 100 picks. That's still a great pick. A third rounder is very valuable. I would have at least expected that for him. Sixth round, I mean, come on.
What are your thoughts, Lou, on the return for Justin Fields?
I mean, a third round pick, yeah, I understand, but a sixth round pick, come on, really?
Game way.
Yeah, well,
it really doesn't make any sense.
He didn't do much the last time, so I don't know if it's going to make any difference here this time. I mean, Fields, you know, wasn't that great of a quarterback to start out with, so I don't know if it's going to make any difference.
I'll give you guys a curveball. Like, well, how about this? Now let's do the math on the Barkley, the Daniel Jones, you know, catastrophe in New York. They couldn't give up a fifth-round pick. They couldn't beat that deal. That just – well, now that I'm getting older, unfortunately, I'm getting a little bit wiser, pardon the pun, hopefully. Maybe that's why maybe that shows the Giants are already picking McCarthy. Because if I'm the Giants, I would have given up a fifth-round. I would have given up a fifth-rounder for Fields. So his market is dried up. No one else wants him. A sixth-rounder? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely...
Patriots didn't want him?
It's definitely kind of eye-opening, if anything. Like, basically what it says is that it's letting him essentially know, we don't really believe that you can, not just the Bears' future quarterback, but it sends a message to him that no team believes that he can lead them to success.
Right.
I mean, it might be the most, you know, the most pressurized, you know, the most pressure, the most spotlight in sports, I think. You know, I always give props to hockey goalies, but I would say right now, NFL quarterback, you gotta be calm, under control, and able to, you know,
yeah.
like a Vietnam veteran. You gotta be absolutely like in control of your emotions at all times. And I've never seen that out of field. That I think a lot of GMs are like, this guy's an athlete. He was at Ohio State where before Harrison, he had, I can't pull it up right now. I'm walking my dog, but like, he had like three or four number one picks that were wide receivers, like that were playing on his Ohio State team. Point being, like, Justin Fields has always had a lot of talent around him, and he would kind of like get creative. When you're playing Iowa on a Saturday, it's a lot different than when you're playing the Cowboys in Dallas on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
It's a lot different. There's a jump in talent, and Fields has always been protected, insulated, you know, surrounded by the best players. Ohio, that's also when Ohio State was, like, by far and away the number one team. When Fields was there, it was only, like, I think, I want to say 2 years. And he lit it up, and he was scrambling. Now it's, like, fast forward. I don't know if he reads the playbook well. I don't know if he checks down well. I don't know if he's not in Ohio anymore. It's a different ballgame in the pros. So I think it got humbled. But I'm still shocked that a sixth round is all he can get. I mean, the Bears were talking about getting, you know, trading back, getting a, you know, another top 20 pick or next year. I mean, this there's egg on the face of the Bears, I think. It's a bad move by the Bears. You got to get more.
Yeah, it's definitely basically what it says is that, you know, we just want you off of the team, period. You know, we're already making room for Caleb Williams or whoever we decide to take. More than likely, it'll be Caleb Williams. So, you know, we just want you off of the team, period. And we'll take whatever we can get for you, basically. Like, if a team is going to lowball us, doesn't matter, we'll take it. So it was kind of surprising, just looking at that. As soon as that report came out earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, that was the most eye-opening, you know, draft return or, you know, trade, whatever you want to call it, where you go and, wow, that doesn't make sense for the Bears. But like you said, I mean, that just reveals maybe his market value, maybe the way the people plugged in the NFL running these teams, they don't view him like the Bears do. They think he's like a gadget guy. I was skeptical the whole time. I mean, when he just didn't look great. They added DJ Moore last year. Oh, the Bears, you know, the coaching sucks. I don't know if I like this guy that much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know about football. And I, you know what? Honestly, Steve, for your benefit too, like, I'm glad the Patriots didn't fall in love with him. They didn't make a move. They're not sold on him. Otherwise, they would have gotten him for a fifth.
No, and you know, going over to the Patriots for a second here, there's people who are questioning the Jacoby Brissett deal. I actually like the Jacoby Brissett deal, and the reason being is they have him listed as the backup. They don't have him listed as the starter. Now, if they had him listed as the starter, okay, you know, that would be something to be, you know, that would be something to be nervous about. But they have him listed as the backup. I mean, right now, obviously, they got Bailey Zappe and they got Nathan Rourke also on the team. Although, let's be fair, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Bailey Zappe eventually gets traded at some point, either during or before the draft. I mean, Brissett, he's basically making, I think it's like $8 million to be a backup, which, if anything, he's basically serving as a bridge-type quarterback. You know, it's not going to be – if they do decide to start him this year, It's not going to be a full-time thing, basically. He's basically going to be there to mentor whoever they draft to eventually take over as the new starting quarterback, kind of similar to what the Green Bay Packers did with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love.
Exactly. And Steve, I mean, just looking at this right now, if you really want to break down the mentality, right, that there's a lot more behind the scenes. We're not playing video games. We're not just on Madden.
Yeah.
The reason they signed him, I would think, he's familiar with the system. He loves being in New England. And he will accept the fact that, hey, probably for about a month, 2 months, unless, I'm thinking Jaden Daniels, hopefully. But, they're going to draft a quarterback. So he knows his role, and he's good with it. And he knows the system, and he knows New England. I mean, it's a no-brainer. They're like you said, they're literally bringing him in to hold the, to set the table for the next quarterback.
Wow. So hang on one second. I just got this note from Tim. The Cowboys only have $4 million of cap space, even with the releases of Gallup and Van Der Esch. That's why they're not doing anything.
What happened? Steve, what did you say? I'm sorry, man. I won't ask you to repeat again, but could you repeat that?
Well, yeah. The reason why the Cowboys aren't doing anything, and keep in mind, this is after the Michael Gallup and Leighton Van Der Esch releases, they only have $4 million of cap space.
Yeah. That's what I was for. The Giants and the Cowboys are wrecked financially with their cap spaces. There's a stat. I have a mem. I didn't want to be too obnoxious as an Eagles fan, but the Eagles, I think, are paying Barkley like $2 million next year. There's something that Howie Roseman, the Eagles GM, does that, honestly, he's a former attorney. He knows numbers. I don't know numbers at all. But, the way the Cowboys and the Giants are signing contracts is definitely bad for their teams. Yeah, Tim nailed it. Lou, you know what I'm talking about. There's something else, I mean, Steve, you can see it from afar as a Patriots fan. The Eagles always, every year, they have 7 or 8 huge free agents. And then they don't blink. They cut them. They sign 7 or 8 more.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like they call it like Howie magic. Howie Roseman, the Eagles GM, he's a magician.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just tell you one thing. From what we're seeing right now, it just seems very unlike Dallas to be in this sort of situation where now, if anything, they just made themselves worse, and there's no sort of movement that they can make. There's no sort of signing that they can make now that will actually actively make them be better than last season.
Well, what do you think, man?
So
you're right with those boys.
I mean,
what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I have to think you're right about that one.
The Jerry Jones thing is, it's not only like a joke. It's actually, killing their team.
It's always been a joke.
And no, it's killing their team. Because you can't sign, Aikman and Emmitt Smith when they won. What did they win? 3 or 4, like out of 6 back in the day. They had the Patriots, before the Patriots. Yeah, they were both teams awesome, obviously. We were always jealous of them. But now, the cap is a little bit stricter. And, Jerry Jones is just, They're not even doing anything.
I think it's time for Steven to take over.
What are you going to say, Dad? Remember Jerry Jones wanted to draft Johnny Manziel. His son, pulled him off the mic and took someone else.
That was his biggest mistake.
I would have loved it.
What a bum he turned out to be. What a loser.
But, as long as Jerry's running that thing, it ain't going north. It's going south.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I think it's time for Jerry to give it up.
I mean, he runs the whole operation.
That's a pretty good point, actually, because, it's almost like with Belichick. You know, Jerry Jones ain't getting any younger, and it's almost like he's getting worse with age.
Oh my God! And Steve, I mean, come on, let's not be wrong here. He's an egomaniac. He wants full control. And hey, and he's kind of like, you know, I'm not trying to D-A-T-H-E on anyone, but as he gets in his older years, what do you think he wants to do? He wants to win one more ring. He's going to go down with the flames going, like, all around him. He's going to burn down the whole house.
He's going to go down the flames, right.
He's going to try to win one more time. He's going to burn down the whole building. I mean, come on. They're wrecking the franchise. I mean, come on. That's why Dak, I don't think Dak wants to be there. He's not going to say it, but,
Send it over to Steven. Let him take over.
If Dak, before Kirk Cousins got moved there, if Dak got traded to Atlanta, I don't think Dak would complain. You see Pollard leave? People are leaving now. People used to want to go to Dallas. Now they want to leave Dallas.
Right.
That's Jerry Jones.
True. Yeah, it's definitely... It's almost sort of the whole mystique, if anything, around the Cowboys has almost started to completely dissipate. You know, kind of like New England. You know, granted this is completely different, but once Brady left, it's like whatever made New England great completely disappeared.
I mean, it's more recent. I mean, that's tied to Brady. Yeah, they're both like, it's like almost like joining the Lakers back when they had Shaq and Kobe. Of course, you're going to get an awesome, small forward or shooting guard to join those guys, right? I mean, everyone and their brother would be like, yeah, let's sign with the Lakers. But, yeah, I mean,
right.
The Patriots with Bill and Brady, I don't think that does any favors now with free agents because they have to get a facelift. Which Kraft finally did. Now they're starting from brand new. Steve, you can't expect them to make the playoffs next year.
No.
But in two years, sure. At least now you have a new day. Because the last couple of years have been kind of shitty.
Yeah.
It's like you've been hurt for the last couple of years. Because you knew you weren't going to win, but you weren't getting better. At least now you can start new. I think Dallas has to do that too, but the problem with Dallas is much deeper. Kraft is a great owner. In New England,
right.
Jerry Jones wants to hire anyone who will agree with him 7 days a week. That's why they kept McCarthy. He's not a great head coach. Like,
right.
Dallas is only going to improve when Jerry leaves. When's Jerry Jones going to leave? When he's 6 feet on. I hate to say it, but, I'm the Undertaker.
He's got to leave sooner than that, man. He doesn't have much left in him. He really doesn't.
Jerry Jones will never retire or share his whatever, sell his share in the Cowboys.
So in other words, he's going to stay until it kills him.
Thank you. I mean, come on, Lou, you're a Dallas fan. You know that. Jerry
Jones
will never.
But it doesn't mean it's smart.
He will. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, people were saying, you know what? Maybe have someone else be a GM. I mean, Steve, it's crazy because NFTs. I follow the Cowboys a lot. They're my enemy, dude. He will not give any real power. Jerry Jones calls every shot in that house in Dallas. And he's almost, what, 90? He's almost 90. He's cockier than ever. It's almost like the Energizer
right.
Bunny. Will it ever stop?
No, probably not. He may need to be physically taken over, essentially, put it that way.
Yeah.
We'll have to drag him out.
Like I said, the rest of the NFC East loves it.
Well, I know we have JB on the line. JB, let's get your thoughts on the state of the Dallas Cowboys with them. Basically, essentially being in cap hell.
I haven't been following up on them, really. I know I got the last part of, I don't know who it was talking, they were.
We have Alex and we have Lou on the line.
Yes.
It was either Alex or Lou that was saying something about the Jerry Jones calls all the shots, and it's like,
right.
That's about how I, feel.
Yes.
Everything that goes on has to go through Jerry Jones.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it, folks?
Maybe not.
Yeah, but
maybe not everything, but I'd say about 80% of the things that go on, you got to get Jerry Jones' approval.
Jerry, well, yeah, obviously, because he's the buck essentially stops with him.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, and I love what you're saying. I mean, I totally agree. He, at the end of the day, he will not, sign off on anything. If he doesn't think that he's the one who made that idea, he will not give anyone else power or intelligence to make a decision. That's the most dangerous thing, the most damning thing of any business. It's like a guy who runs a company who won't, oh, my God, this new guy knows something about me or knows something better than me. No, I'm the owner. I'm Jerry Jones. I'm gonna do something different, show him that I'm the boss. He's the most dangerous boss. I mean, he's the guy who will not run a successful team to win a championship. He's the worst owner in sports, I think.
Yeah. As far as being the worst, I don't know.
Little tough. I take that back a little bit, but you get my drift.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have Mike Brown, who runs the Cincinnati Bengals, and you kind of wonder if he's not the worst.
No.
I would
have to disagree with that, JB.
I mean, not the worst, but
definitely
I don't think he's better than Jerry Jones.
No.
He's kind of terrible, too. I mean, Mike Brown, yes. Great call, man. I mean, he's done some terrible things with the Bengals. Burrow came along. They were in hell. They were in purgatory. Not because of the cat.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was cheap as hell. He was cheap as hell. They forced him to spend money, and so he finally subsided and agreed. And then he fell into Joe Burrow, and he's like a good owner. No, Mike Brown's been a terrible owner, too. I think Jerry Jones, let me describe it better. I think from where he went to where he is now, it's the worst case in sports. I mean, Jerry Jones, that guy was winning Super Bowls every year. Now they can't sniff the playoffs. What do they get? One win a year, maybe in the playoffs? And he will not give anyone else power. I mean, that's what I was trying to say. He's like the
okay.
most, he's like the king that won't give anyone else power at all. Other teams, you have GMs, you have coaches. Jerry Jones controls the play calling, too. Jerry Jones controls on the Cowboys.
Oh, unreal.
And like you said, he's like almost 90. It's like,
man. Essentially. He will not give up any power. I mean, come on.
By the way, going on to a few other deals around the league. This one I thought was pretty surprising. Gardner Minshew agreeing to $25 million deal with $15 million guaranteed with the Raiders. they're basically paying him starter money. They feel, apparently, that obviously there's going to be a battle between him and Aiden O'Connell. But that right there is kind of surprising because he's been a backup for the last couple of years since leaving Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And they really believe that he's worth putting out there as a starter for Vegas?
Might be a smokescreen. I do like Minshew. You know, Aiden O'Donnell, what, fourth-round pick from Purdue? We've all seen him. He's got a big arm, right? But you got to be able to
right.
hit, what, Devontae Adams. Maybe the best receiver still alive. I mean, one of them. You got that going for you, which is nice. But, I mean, they just lost Josh Jacobs, too. I'm thinking maybe smokescreen. They're going to draft the quarterback.
Yeah.
Huh. What pick does the Raiders have
thinking,
this year?
I mean, interesting enough, I mean, the Raiders just signed Christian Wilkins from the Dolphins, one of the best defensive linemen,
yeah.
for $10 million. So
I was very surprised that Miami let him go.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, that kind of leads to the idea of maybe – I mean, Raiders, you know, Max Crosby was saying, you know, if you don't give me help, I'm out of here. So they just
yeah.
they just satisfied his soul. They gave him a full meal right there. They signed one of the best players to
right.
deal him on defense. I'm thinking now, O'Donnell, I don't know, you guys saw him. I mean, I think coaching was a big thing with the Raiders last year. O'Donnell can throw the ball downfield. Devontae Adams is an awesome player.
Yeah,
let's do the math.
And by the way, I just looked it up. They have the 13th overall pick, the Vegas Raiders.
A guy like that, to me, like that would make sense would be like Penix, if they want a quarterback. I mean, Minshew is a placeholder, I think, but the guy's won playoff games. I like him a lot, but you know, that's the
yeah.
Eagle. That's the Eagle, like underdog. You know. I like Minshew. He's more of like a character. He's not gonna. I don't think he's gonna win a Super Bowl, but he's not chopped liver either.
Right. Let's see some other deals that were made as well. The Patriots, they agreed to terms with Antonio Gibson on a 3-year, $11.25 million contract. He had a down year this year, but. However, though, he did, you know, his best year was back in 2021 where he had a career best 1,037 yards along with seven rushing touchdowns. He's basically going to be the backup, essentially, to Ramondre Stevenson. Essentially, this means that the book on Ezekiel Elliott returning to New England is officially closed. The Patriots also agreed to terms with offensive lineman Michael Onwenu on a 3-year, $57 million extension, which includes $38 million guaranteed. Now, in my opinion, this is a bit of a surprise because there was one, I forget which guard it was, who signed a new deal for like $100 million, I think it was. That he had signed a new deal, or he had signed a deal for $100 million plus, and you know that it basically seemed like okay, so that's basically going to be the market, because you know everybody was looking at Mike Onwenu as being one of the top linemen in the league entering this free agency, so it's like okay. What is his market going to look like if we're looking at this guy getting so much? And surprisingly enough, Onwenu kind of gave New England a little bit of a discount, which, I mean, it's a pretty good win for New England, considering that he was easily, apart from David Andrews, he was easily their top offensive lineman this year.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a guy like that, that's the key figure that you build around. I mean, that's a building block. That's a foundational piece. Yeah, no brand. You know, I always, you know, give the guy the, oh, let's be real. We have a thing called salary cap now. But, you know, they made it smart. They made it practical. They locked him up. Win-win.
Yeah, and not just that, but they also agreed to terms with Kendrick Bourne on a 3-year extension worth up to $33 million coming off of a torn ACL, which kept him out of action after week 8 of this past season. He was in the midst of one of the best careers of his, or one of the best years of his career, catching 37 balls for 406 yards and 4 touchdown catches before he suffered a torn ACL in week 8. Easily, as of now, he is the number one receiver on that roster, considering Devontae Parker was not only released, but then signed a $4 million contract with the Philadelphia Eagles right away when free agency hit. So, I mean, definitely. Well, I shouldn't say right away, but, you know, he was one of the first receivers to go off of the board, basically.
No, you're right. You were right. You said it right.
But still, you know, it's. I find it kind of funny that it took them this long to get rid of Parker. I do know that they were trying to get a trade to get rid of Juju Smith-Schuster, but according to Diana Russini, I believe it was Diana Russini, or maybe it was Josina Anderson, I forget, one of the two from ESPN had basically said that New England, after missing out on Calvin Ridley, with him agreeing to that deal with the Tennessee Titans. Take a look at what that Tennessee offense is going to look like this season.
Hey, Steve.
Who was it?
It was Christina Anderson, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Steve, real quick, because my, you know, I have ADD. My attention span is about 4 seconds. No, back to Devontae Parker. Yeah, he signed with the Eagles for a 1-year deal. I was telling you for the last 2 years, this guy's kind of like horse shit. Is the guy legit or not? I mean, his grades, they don't look great. I mean, he's injured a lot. Are you going to miss Parker? Is Parker good? Devontae Parker?
You know, I almost wonder if his struggles in New England were mainly because of who was throwing him the ball. That's what I'll put.
That's how I'll
phrase it. However, though, he did have one or two balls thrown his way that should have been easy catches, but literally slid right through his hand.
Wow.
So I don't know how to really put it when it comes to him.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, all these stats, to me, sounds like what we see with our own eyes is much more valuable than, like, a stat on PFT or whatever. Sometimes I call them garbage stats. But, like, what I saw, like, he couldn't get away from the cornerback. And then I look up the stats.
Right.
Like, he's the worst receiver in the league with separation. Separation being getting away from the guy covering you. Like, he cannot get uncovered. Would he ever get open? Or was it always, like, a tough struggle when he had a catch?
You know, it's kind of weird because there would be moments where he is wide open and he basically absolutely fumbles the ball, you know, trying to make that catch, and he just it's almost like he forgot how to catch. And then are moments where he's completely covered. There's moments where he's completely covered, and all of a sudden he makes this catch out of nowhere that makes you wonder, how the fuck is he making this catch, and where has this been the last, you know, the entire season?
Where has this been his whole career? Yeah. It'll be fascinating to watch how he does. I mean, yeah, for the he goes, let's be honest, let's look at the depth chart. You know, you have, you know, we're blessed with great receivers, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. I love Devontae Smith. Yeah, their third and fourth last year was Julio Jones, and I can't even pronounce the other guy's name. It wasn't good. But
that's,
I mean,
I would take Julio Jones over him. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, so would
wow.
I.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm skeptical, but, like, one-year deal. I mean, former first-round pick. Where'd he go? West Virginia? Or?
Parker?
No, sorry. Sorry, Devontae Parker. Miami?
He originally started with Miami. Then he got traded over to New England. And now he's officially you know, with the Philadelphia Eagles. But he actually went to college. He went to college in Louisville, actually.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Louisville.
You know, color me skeptical. I would be shocked if he scores more than. I'll put it honestly. If I were a betting man, which I am, I'd be shocked if he scores more than 3 touchdowns next year.
But his career high was in 2019, where he had 9 touchdown catches.
New England is they're in the market for receivers. They gladly let him go. Like, I'm not expecting much of anything from Parker. I'm just not. I mean, maybe 3. You know, I'm thinking maybe 400 yards.
Right.
I don't see the guy. Also, like, the injuries were big, too. He's slowing down a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, and another thing, too. He did have 3 touchdown catches in his first year with New England. Last year, he had none.
Yeah, I'm not seeing
and
it.
And somehow
I don't
got
care.
$4 million.
Yeah, I don't care if it's Jalen Hurts or Joe Montana. I don't see anyone really improving what he's doing. Hey, I hope he does well, but, like, I'm not expecting anything.
Right. I wouldn't expect anything out of him to begin with anyways, because, you know, he's just – it's like he's basically one of those guys that they have promoted as, you know, being able to contest 50-50 balls. Like, for example, when the Patriots drafted N'Keal Harry, that was the big thing about him, was that he excelled at catching 50-50 balls. And then what happens as soon as he comes to the league, that ends up being false.
Yes.
That's a damnation. That's a damning statement on Bill. Thought he was harder than the room. You cannot draft N'Keal Harry at, 27?
Yep.
I remember that. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it just kind of makes you wonder, that's the thing here with Devontae Parker. You know, he had, I believe it might have been, 2019. It was probably Ryan Fitzpatrick that was throwing to him that year. You have Ryan Fitzpatrick as your starter, and you mean to tell me that? And I, you know, it's obvious. You look at that wide receiver crew. You have Devontae Parker, you have Allen Hurns, you have Albert Wilson. You know, it's clear as day he's the number one option. And when used as the number one option, he excelled with a quarterback like Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing. So it kind of makes me wonder if all of his struggles in New England were mainly due to the quarterback that was throwing to him.
Yeah, so it's going to be the chicken before the egg, right? You know, what hatched first? I mean, it's always going to be a conundrum, a difficult debate pretty well. Yeah, I mean, is it a quarterback? Is it a receiver? I don't know. I've seen not do well in any landscape that I've seen. You know, college is such a different beast. I would say, what did I say an hour ago? I mean, Justin Fields, lit it up. Ohio State, you know, All-American, rah, rah, rah. You know, take him to Sunday afternoon in the snow in Chicago. He didn't do well. And, Steve, like you said before, at the very end of the year, when everyone was already whispering or giving rumors out, oh, my God, he's leaving.
Yeah.
He's getting – oh, what do you know? Wow, wow. Now he puts up, you know, 9,000 TVs. Give me a break. No, I mean, the truth reveals itself.
Right. And by the way, another shocker in around the league here, the Minnesota Vikings, they agreed to terms with Aaron Jones, formerly of the Green Bay Packers, on just a one-year, $7 million contract.
That's insane. That's insane.
You're right. That's going to make me sick.
Jacobs from Alabama, that's a huge move. And Aaron Jones, wow. I mean, I thought that they're both, like, great running backs. I was shocked by that.
Yeah, only signing him for 1 year, $7 million. That's really how far he's fallen, apparently.
That's insane.
I mean, it's just, it's really surprising, at least in my eyes, that, you know, that's all he's really, he's really been brought down to here.
I think it's not only, you know, it's almost a realization of where he is, but more importantly, I think it's more like money rules everything, right? A lot of these guys
right.
get humbled. They get humbled quick.
Right, and, you know, another thing, too, is what surprises me more is that so not only does Aaron Jones sign with the Vikings, the Packers replaced him with Josh Jacobs, formerly of the Vegas Raiders. I mean, obviously, you know, Josh Jacobs has always been talked about as, you know, wanting to finally get paid, and you know, he made that whole entire spectacle of not signing the franchise tag, but he did reach a 4-year, $48 million agreement to sign with the Packers, which basically amounts to $12 million per season. And really, it kind of seems like that's the standard that's being set for the modern day running back market now is anywhere from $10 to $12 million per year.
I agree with you, Steve. I agree. Maybe about 12. Perfect. Yeah, 10 to 12, 12 on the high range. Josh Jacobs, you know, former number one, former first-rounder, Alabama, awesome player, in a dog shit, pardon my Latin, a dog shit offense in Oakland. Dude, wasting away out there. Then in Vegas, come on, no quarterback. No, he can actually wherever he is. That's a deal. That's a deal for his new team. He has a lot of talent. Josh Jacobs is an awesome running back.
Other running backs around the league, Joe Mixon has been traded from the Cincinnati Bengals to the Houston Texans. This kind of makes sense now as to why Houston allowed Devin Singletary to sign with the Giants. Because now, you know, Houston acquires the likes of Joe Mixon. And, you know, that's not the only deal that Houston agreed to, as they ended up picking up. Well, they first off they re-signed Dalton Schultz to a 3-year, $36 million contract. But they also agreed to terms with edge rusher Danielle Hunter, formerly of the Minnesota Vikings, to a 2-year, $49 million deal.
It
has a max value of 51.
It pays to hit the quarterback.
I'll tell you right now, D'Amico Ryans, he is making moves in getting ready for his second year at the helm of the Houston Texans. I'll tell you one thing. I think we're looking at Houston going right back to the playoffs next year.
Of course.
With the moves they've made so far this offseason.
Of course, Steve. You know, minus 10 Cal. Hey, that's the one thing I was telling you about. Maybe the one thing I've been right on in the 2 years I've called with you. I was saying don't sleep, you know, first-year deal. You know, Houston, everyone, you were skeptical. You know, D'Amico Ryans, what,
true.
Former coach? No, sorry, former linebacker, D'Amico Ryans. No head coaching experience. They gave him the gig. They gave him the microphone. Then they bring in C.J. Stroud. Boom. Now you have Tank Dell. They're adding people. I mean, I'm telling you, that team is – you saw them. They stretched – who was it in the playoffs this year? It escapes me. But, like, the Texans made noise this year. They're going to be louder and prouder next year. They're just getting started. I mean, first-year coach, how hard that is in the NFL, he brought him right in the playoffs. That's incredible. I mean, I was talking him up. I didn't expect that much.
Yeah, it is kind of it is kind of intriguing though when you take a look at what he's been able to do in the one season that he's had in Houston so far.
They had
the
year before they were like the worst team, almost the worst team in football. Boom, instant turnaround. That's hard to find.
Right. So it's definitely it's refreshing. I should say when it comes to you know when it comes to actual contenders.
I think most of us love seeing that. We love the underdog. You know, we love the doormat suddenly become legitimate.
Right. So it's definitely. I think Houston. You know, they've had that. They've had that taste of that first taste of the playoffs, of getting back to the playoffs. Now, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see them potentially get right back into it.
Well, I mean,
coming up this season.
Let's do the math here. I mean, you and I talked about it. You know, Tank Dell maybe was their best receiver. He was gone when they were really, really going into the playoff push, right? So he's back now.
Right.
You know, that guy's going to be pissed off. He's going to be angry. He's going to put up probably about 1,200 yards. Then you have Nico, you know, Collins, the Michigan receiver, another year better. I mean, think about it. All their best pieces are young. They just got their first taste of the playoffs. Then you're going to add a draft right now. They might add 3 or 4 different players that are nasty. That team definitely on the rise.
Yeah, it's definitely
right.
Like I said, they're definitely a team to really keep an eye on here moving forward.
I mean, the AFC is loaded. The AFC is so good right now. It's like the old school, back in the day with Shaq and Kobe, like the West Conference was the best in the NBA. The AFC is so loaded. You're going to have Joe Burrow coming back. The AFC has 7 or 8 Super Bowl teams, I think. But whatever. That's for another day.
Right. Let's see. One of the other, let's see, we talked about the Christian Wilkins. By the way, the Wilkins contract in particular was for 4 years, $110 mil,
mm-hmm.
Specifically on that deal. Let's see. Some of the other notable names. The Jaguars, they agreed to terms with center Mitch Morse, formerly of the Buffalo Bills. My God, you know, we talk about cap casualties. We talked about Dallas being up against the cap. The Buffalo Bills, they had to get rid of Mitch Morse, they had to get rid of Jordan Poyer, and they had to get rid of Tre'Davious White.
Wow.
In order just to get under the cap. And now,
yeah.
So Morse ends up going elsewhere to the Jaguars. You have Jordan Poyer go to the Miami Dolphins on a 1-year deal. And I don't know. I don't think Tre'Davious White has signed anywhere yet, but,
yeah.
You know, it's definitely you almost kind of wonder if maybe perhaps we may see a potential shift next season in the AFC East with Buffalo not really bringing in anybody and instead subtracting. Well, I mean, the Bills did re-sign Deion Dawkins to a 3-year, $60.5 million contract extension. But other than that, you know, they didn't really – they haven't really done anything to really sort of reshape that club compared to, you know, compared to what else they've to what they had last year.
Steve.
Yeah.
No, I mean, overall, sorry, man. I was actually reading something. What deal were you talking about?
The Buffalo Bills letting Jordan Poyer go to the Miami Dolphins and also letting Mitch Morse go to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, just all cap murders, you know, cap hits, you know, cut them.
Yeah.
Cap murder. That's what I think about it. It's like the 9-year-old in Buffalo who met, you know, Poyer, you know, after a game last year. He could have helped, you know, kids in different, you know, I'm sure they all did like a lot of not-for-profit work. My buddy Mike Zabel works in the Bills scouting department. He said the toughest thing is we draft the guys, and then once they get their agent, once they have the big money offer, they leave. Hey, can't correct them if they're not wrong, right? So, yeah, I mean,
right.
They were in cap hell. Like you said, they were in cap hell. A lot of these players fall in love, you know, the wives, the kids, everyone, with that home stadium, with that area code. With the school system too, it's a messy breakup for everyone. But I mean, money talks. The Bills overpaid a lot of people. And then you see, you know, the chicken comes to roost. It's like, shit, we got to pay our bill. Yeah, they start cutting people.
Yeah, it just seemed very odd to me, honestly. The fact that Buffalo was willing to let them go. I mean, obviously they brought back Deion Dawkins, but you know, apart from that, they essentially let you know, it's completely reshaped that whole entire team on both sides.
Yeah. And I mean, come on. I can't imagine if I was actually like, I love that passion out there. I mean, come on. Who wouldn't fall in love if you're actually in that place? That's a tough place. I mean, you're getting snowed on, you know, 9 months a year, right? So, you know, Bills, you ain't got nothing much going on. That's their Bible out there. Buffalo, you know, Bills Mafia, they're religious. They love their Bills. But, like, they've given up some great players. I mean, I'd love to see Josh Allen actually get to the Super Bowl, but, you know, they're hitching wagons on him, and they're cutting some good players. Maybe the question is him. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It really makes you wonder. It really makes you wonder just exactly what's ahead, basically. Like what's coming up moving forward, specifically for Buffalo, because they also lost Gabe Davis to Jacksonville on a 3-year, $39 million deal, with, by the way, another $11 million can be had through incentives for him. So it's almost like there's, you know, it's almost like a changing of the guard a little bit, if we want to put it that way, for Buffalo, to where, you know, you've had Miami on their heels the last couple of years, and you know, now all of a sudden it's almost like it's a complete changing of the guard, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, times change. I mean, I'm sorry, but I mean, come on,
well,
Miami
yeah.
guys. I've told you that before. You know, I don't know much, but I know a little. You know. Miami scares no one in that league. If you do, you're wrong. Oh, Gadget, you know, Tyreek Hill, where is he going? He's getting older. You know, does Tua scare anyone? No. Mike McDaniel's kind of a fraud. But anyways, overall, you know, Buffalo, I think, is a much prouder, deeper, stronger team. A lot more weapons. That's what I'm going to say. They're not sexy, you know, South Beach, Miami, Dolphins, whatever. Buffalo is built to win. I think they're going to give Josh Allen another 3 or 4 years. And that's the best they can do. I mean, he's the best quarterback they've had since Jim Kelly. So, I mean, they're obviously going to hitch a wagon on Josh Allen. Is it right, wrong? I don't know. But, I mean, that's what they're doing.
Also, another big trade actually here, and in my opinion, I believe that that the team here was kind of stiffed on this return. Keenan Allen is now a Chicago Bear for only a fourth round pick, and the big problem is because the Chargers were up against the cap. So they not only did they release Mike Williams, but they also traded Keenan Allen for just a fourth round pick when he's like a first or second round type of talent. Although maybe perhaps part of it had to do with the fact due to his massive, gigantic salary that he's set to make about $18.1 million just this season alone against the cap. Although I don't think that's the actual amount that he's going to make. It's I think it's closer to like $25 million that he's going to get, period. But just only $18 million of it counts against the cap. But I found it kind of odd that that the Chargers couldn't get any better than just a fourth round pick this year.
Yeah, I mean they've been in a world of hurt. I mean they're not only losing him, they're talking about losing Bosa. Dude, and seriously, what
Bosa.
Jim Harbaugh just arrived there. Why would Harbaugh deal a Hall of Fame receiver coming off his best year ever for a fourth-round pick? That's something, I mean, I can't understand how Tommy shoots up some, but, like, why would he do that? Are they going into full rebuild? Is Harbaugh coming in from Michigan trying to win three games? Because he's about to win three games.
It really makes you wonder, like, right now, obviously, you know, trading Allen and releasing Mike Williams, pretty much what that tells me is they're going wide receiver in the draft. But also, I had heard rumors about Bosa and Khalil Mack, but it kind of sounds like, I believe Khalil Mack restructured his contract. Now I don't know about Bosa. If Bosa restructured his deal or not, but pretty much what this tells me is it tells me that number one, they're definitely going wide receiver in the draft first round. I wouldn't be surprised if you see them take O'Dunn out of Washington, unless they end up somehow trying to trade up to get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, I mean, everyone, I think anyone would be a fool not to try to move up for him. I keep hearing the name Arizona, you know, Cardinals, even though they,
right.
You know, the Call of Duty quarterback, you know, can't put his, PlayStation controller down. I keep hearing about that, though. I personally, I would love to see him go to the Patriots and then draft someone else. Or, you know, Harrison's going to be the best receiver in the last 10 years. That much I know.
Yeah, that'll definitely be, it's still kind of confusing because I really do think that unless the Patriots move back up in the draft in the first round, unless they're going to take Michael Penix potentially in the second, unless they somehow move back up into the first round, I don't see how they take Marvin Harrison Jr. with the number three when they have a quarterback right there, unless they're going to trade back.
Yeah, that's the thing, Steve. I mean, yeah, it sounds sexy. You know, everyone would love it. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to be realistic. You're staring the chance to take a quarterback in your face.
You
can't fall in love with the receiver. Conservative. You have to take the quarterback. What's more important? Quarterback or receiver? Quarterback.
Well, obviously.
I would be shocked if they dance around on draft day. They have to take a quarterback.
Right.
Yeah, the last thing I had read was that if that Minnesota deal does go down potentially, that they would potentially go offensive line, that offensive lineman from Penn State. Fashanu, I think his name is, or I might be thinking of something different.
Sounds like something I ate last night.
But they would be going him, and then they would take either a receiver or a quarterback with the 23 pick.
I there's a million different ideas. The right idea is just to keep it stupid, keep it stupid, keep it simple. There's no.
Right.
Now that Bill is not in town, I would think the Patriots can dumb it down, keep it very simple. Okay, we need the quarterback. We have the number three. Take the quarterback. Do not get sexy. Do not get cute. Do not change anything around. Just take the guy in front of you. I mean, come on. I mean, Steve, would you be pissed
right.
if they start trading around? Imagine if they pick an offensive tackle. They need about 9 weapons and a quarterback.
Yeah.
If they pick a tackle, I mean.
Here's the thing that makes me think it's going to be less likely that they take a tackle, because a lot of their moves in the offseason so far have been on the offensive line. And not to mention they also brought in Austin Hooper as well at the tight end position.
Really good player.
So, they got tight end solved. They got the offensive line. They brought back Mike Onwenu. They signed that guy from Pittsburgh who got benched, and they also signed another. Trying to remember. I think it was one of Tom Brady's former offensive linemen with Tampa Bay. So, they've addressed the offensive line this offseason, and that's what kind of makes me – think that they're going to take either – they're going to go either quarterback or receiver, or who knows, they may go both with their first two picks in the draft this year.
Yeah, and to build on your point, that should reassure you. There should be no inkling. There should be no shadow of a doubt. That would shock the Patriots world if they took an offensive lineman. It's like, dude, we need a quarterback. You guys have a great running back, Stevenson. I mean, dude, they obviously need a quarterback and receivers. If they want O-line with that high of a pick, that would be like a mutiny. Like Boston Tea Party. I mean, dude, that would set off the Boston crowd like no other. They have to go skill position. I mean, come on. You can't take a tackle.
Yeah, you would.
You don't have a quarterback. You can't take a tackle to block some. You can't take a tackle when they have no one to block for. Take the quarterback. Next draft, take the tackle.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you would think that would be the way that they should go. I mean, we've seen stupider decisions be made by New England.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys dominated for a while. So, hey, I give you guys respect.
But I'm just saying, All in all, it may not even matter though.
Yeah, I mean. We always put all of our 2 cents in fine and stick down. But like,
yes.
I mean, you would think. I mean, I thought, and I've told you that before, Steve. I thought the last couple of years it was almost like Jerry Jones. The thing told me that the Patriots was Belichick.
Right. Yeah, it may not even matter anyways when you got the Kansas City Chiefs agreeing to terms with Marquise Brown on an $11 million contract.
The Niners should have beaten them. I know the Eagles definitely should have beaten them. Don't be afraid of the Chiefs. The Chiefs are beatable. If the Cowboys get healthy and have better coaching, the Cowboys on a good day could beat the Chiefs. I don't think anyone of us should be afraid of the Chiefs. But they are right now the smartest team, and they keep winning. That's not an unbeatable team.
Right. It's just – I'll put it out there right now. Marquise Brown is probably better than most of the receivers they had last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. You know,
so
a
that's
wide receiver
just
back.
Me, but...
Yeah. They had trash receivers. Marquise was a very underachieving guy. He got drafted. He got first round by the Ravens, who desperately needed a receiver, and Marquise failed them. So I'm not going to, you know, build a monument for Marquise Brown. Andy Reid could have fun with him. He's more of like a gadget. He's not exactly some dude like coming in bad at whatever. What'd they give him?
They gave him a 1-year deal.
Exactly.
Right.
The Hollywood part is done. He's just Marquise Brown now.
Well, I think it was definitely it just goes to show that, you know, they can still get no matter what how strapped against the cap that they are.
Yeah.
You know, they still get that big of a that big of a player, which I mean basically what it tells me is that Marquise Brown took a pay cut.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no offense, but like look at the play. Marquise Brown has done shit since he was a first round pick. How big of a player is he? But you know, Andy Reid's like, you want to come to a Super Bowl champion, take a 1-year deal, or go sign with the Cardinals. I mean, Marquise Brown's bounced around the league. He's the Ravens didn't want him. The Cardinals didn't want him. So how big of a player is Marquise?
True.
How big of a player is Marquise Brown? I mean, just one thing to keep in mind. I mean, these guys, like when they come into the league, they get drafted, but like he didn't prove a lot. I get nothing against him, but look at his stats. But like, Steve, to your point though, like if you plug in players like that, Andy Reid, Mahomes, he'll make a decent player often, which is the dangerous part for the rest of the league.
Yeah, it's definitely. What it basically says though is that, you know, if you look at a team like Kansas City, and just the fact that they may not make any sort of move during free agency,
right?
Or like you won't see them make any sort of splash, but it's almost like they're New England basically right now, when New England had Brady.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're in that zone. They have that positive energy. People want to join them. Yeah, now you nailed it right there, Steve. Yeah,
yeah, it's almost like they're New England when New England had Brady, that no matter what player they signed, as long as it was somebody who can actively contribute, you know, that as long as it was somebody who could actively contribute, that was basically, going to be the difference between them making a Super Bowl and or being essentially on the outs.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, those guys, when you have that control, that power in the world where, hey, you know what? If you're Bill Belichick, hey, I'm Bill Belichick. Me and Tom and I just won, you know, 2 Super Bowls in a row. Do you want to join us? Those guys are obviously going to take a lot less money and make it easy to do. They want to come to the cool kids. They want to join NSYNC. They want to join the hot band. You know, Tennessee Titans, Atlanta Falcons, they can't get bargains. They have to overpay for big people.
Yes.
When you're the hot team.
Right.
When you're the Patriots back in the day, you can get those guys for cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really, really astounding that you take a look at where Kansas City is right now, and the fact that they can still make a deal like that, and it's almost like, okay, you know, there's nothing really. They can make a deal like that, and they would be like, okay, well, we're set for the off season. We don't need to make anything else. So,
yep.
I just found it kind of interesting. But anyways, though, we do have about 15 minutes left here. I know I said we were going to talk about the NHL, but I mean, let's face it, this has basically become a big NFL-heavy show tonight. And also, let's not forget, we got March Madness. We got March Madness coming up. The selection show, I believe, is tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Now, I believe UConn won the Big East tonight, right? UConn won the Big East. I believe Oregon won.
Aren't they playing right now?
I might be wrong.
Oregon's playing against Colorado.
I think the game just ended.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Hang on.
You'll get a kick out of this on Facebook. I was texting Tim about the Barkley and all the signings. I said, "Oh yeah, Barkley and along with that, Breece Hall from the Jets, the linebacker." He goes, "Wait a second, Breece Hall." For like 5 minutes, I was arguing. It's Bryce Hall. Bryce Huff.
Yeah, it's Bryce Hall. from what I saw here, Iowa State upset Houston for the Big 12 championship earlier today, 69-41.
Wow.
NC State upset North Carolina in the ACC tournament, 84-76.
Lou, you called that on your show.
Yeah, I did.
You got Wisconsin beating Purdue in the Big Ten semifinals, 76-75. Wisconsin was unranked. Purdue was ranked number 3. Then you also have you had Auburn advancing in the SEC tournament, 73-66 over Mississippi State. And you have Illinois advancing in the Big Ten to take on Wisconsin, 98-87, so they will meet up in the final. Trying to see if there was any. Why does it have? Hang on a minute. Oh, okay, that's why. Let's see, any other notable things here that I probably... Oh, there was a bunch of semifinals. Okay. New Mexico, they won the Mountain West. New Mexico won the Mountain West over San Diego State, 68-61. Oregon did beat Colorado, 75-68.
Yes.
Then what the hell was Tim talking about that? Hang on a minute. Oh, no, never mind. It says Oregon just stole someone's bid.
Right.
Okay, that's what he was saying. Grambling defeated Texas Southern 75-66 in the SWAC tournament final. Western Kentucky over UTEP 78-71 in the CUSA championship final. The Big West went to Long Beach State 74-70 over UC Davis. Needless to say, it'll be pretty interesting, though, to see. Oh, and it looks like it'll be Florida against Auburn in the finals for the SEC tournament. But it should be interesting to see who makes it and who doesn't for the for March Madness. I mean, what are your guys' thoughts? Who do you see as being potentially, being potentially on the outs when it comes to March Madness here?
Well, I mean, I don't see any real big losses. I mean, because remember, the conference championship is just for, you know, like the seeding. Where you're going to be in the tournament, really, unless, you know, you get, like, on the bubble and you had to win your conference championships. The top teams are going to get, I mean, North Carolina's going to be in anyway. You know, just let me look at third or fourth seed. UConn's probably going to get a top seed. Houston, despite that loss, which was kind of bizarre, I thought, should be willing to get, like a number one, number two seed. So it really hasn't been much, you know, any big surprises. I'm just looking to see if Seton Hall's going to get it. They were projected to be a 10th or 11th seed, but they got ousted in the second round, so they'll be lucky if they even get in there.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see. It should be interesting to see what may potentially be ahead for the specific matchups. Alex, what are your thoughts on March Madness? Who do you think might be on the outside looking in tomorrow, or who could potentially? I know one in particular, Jim's not going to like this, but I think Arkansas may be on the out.
Yep.
I love the Razorbacks.
Bye, Jim.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's more of a test of, you know, the guys who are on the bubble versus the lazy boys on top that are already number one seeds. They're taking it easy. I was surprised that UConn held on. Yeah, back-to-back Big East champs, big props to UConn. But overall, yeah, it's more the hungry dogs eat more than the big dogs that are lazy. Auburn survived today. I mean, overall, it's tough to say. I mean, the cream rises to the top eventually. I want St. John's. I'm Big East, you know, kind of liberal, you know, biased. But I want certain teams in. But, yeah, I mean, so far, I think it's been a great tournament. One of the best months of the year is definitely March Madness, where anything can happen. I love seeing the 15 knock off the one. You know, I would have no problem, believe it or not, if a 15 beat UConn for some reason, because I love when the Hungry Dogs win.
Yeah, it should definitely. I think it should definitely be very interesting. In particular, especially when it comes to this year's, because we've already seen a couple of upsets in the tournament going around to begin with. So, you know, it almost makes you wonder what else are we gonna, you know, what could we potentially see in this year's March Madness? Because it almost seems like every year there's some sort of upset out of nowhere, you know, that people are just absolutely stunned.
One team I will say, like a couple weeks ago, caught my eye, and then today watching them Mississippi State, Texas A&M. Those two teams. I mean, just kind of those 8-9 seeds that are like no one thinks about, but have really good players. And the thing is, those players, you know, that underdogs love to beat the cocky, maybe sometimes lazy. You know, everyone talks about those big brothers. They hate it. They're the younger brothers. They didn't get those scholarships. They didn't get it into those schools. They love knocking off those hungry, those kind of lazy guys up top. So, like, Mississippi State and Texas A&M would be two of my teams where those guys could easily get through to the Final Four.
I'll tell you one thing. It would be the SEC. If any team or any league were going to be able to pull it off, it would be the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, battle tested. It's like football. You know, every week they're going head to head with some of the best. So they're not scared of anyone.
Nope. So. It should remain to be seen. But with that being said, we're going to wrap it up a little bit early for tonight. I do want to thank Lou, Alex, and Diane for joining me tonight. We will be back next Saturday night for another edition of Sports Whispers Weekly. And a reminder for Survivor fans, the Survivor Recap podcast will be this Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Where we will discuss could we perhaps see yet another milestone of maybe one of the worst Survivor tribes to have ever played the show Survivor. That remains to be seen. But with that being said, thank you guys for joining in tonight, and we will see you guys next Saturday night for another edition of Sports Whispers Weekly.